Next case for argument is Jackie versus Gonzalez. Mr. Berman.
May it please the court, Judge Cudahy, Judge Posner, and Judge Wood. My name is Stephen Berman, and I represent the petitioner, Gasman Jackie. This matter comes before the court on petition for review. It's a consolidated appeal, initial appeals from the Board of Immigration Appeals decision upholding the judge's denial of asylum. And the consolidated appeal is with regard to a motion to reopen to submit previously unavailable evidence. At issue before the court is whether the immigration trial comported with...
When was the appeal taken from the original order here?
From the board's order?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. The initial petition for review, the board's order, December 27th, 04. And the petition for review was filed January 24th, 05.
Mr. Berman, let me tell you, there are two things about your appeal that, or the petition, that concern me. First of all, even if a great deal of the delay that had occurred in this case was because the immigration judge was, for one reason or another, acceding to what DHS was up to with these documents that were off in the laboratory, the record seems pretty clear that the documents were turned over to Mr. Jakey's lawyer in January, of 04? No, of 03, in January.
Yes.
And it's not until this odd encounter in early August, I guess, of that year with Ms. Baranek, that the lawyer problem arises. So there's this period of time in about 8 months when the documents are in his possession in which apparently nothing happens. That's my first concern. Why isn't that something that we should attribute to him? And my second concern is that after all is said and done at this hearing, at which he winds up pro se, after he makes all of his protests, you know, I want my lawyer, I want a lawyer, I want a lawyer, the immigration judge finally gets him to start talking about his actual claim, and he's extremely vague about what happened to him. So I suppose in legal terms, the question is whether there's any cognizable prejudice to him, or whether he wasn't somebody who could make a compelling enough case to warrant relief. So I'd appreciate
the comment. Thank you. I will focus on these questions. At the January 2003 hearing, which, by the way, was conducted in English and was a status hearing, the documents were returned to Mr. Baranek, Ms. Baranek. The petitioner in this case didn't know that. He stated he didn't know that. He said at trial, I don't know where they are. We were at hearing after hearing. The government wouldn't give them back. My understanding is they've never given them back.
He's an Albanian speaker, or is he just... Okay.
Yes, he speaks the Geg dialect.
Okay.
From Kosovo. So he told the judge, I don't know where they are. They were with his lawyer, but they never got back to him because the judge let his lawyer go secretly, frankly, and never ascertained that the documents were returned to him.
She wasn't let go until August, was she?
That's correct.
But she had the documents from January to... Well, nothing happened to him, apparently. So.
We don't know about it. So we have the documents.
Yeah, well, she was his lawyer while this was going on, right?
They were with his lawyer. We don't know what happened between Jackie.
Right, and I guess the question is, why shouldn't we attribute that time to him? They were with his lawyer. I mean, she suddenly is like, oh, he says, you know, a couple of days later that he knows that that she's gone. But why shouldn't we attribute her failure to do anything with the documents during that 8 month period of time to him?
He's told it because he told the judge he really didn't know where they were. It's asking, we would submit to this court the case had been continued over and over and over again. It wasn't conducted in English, that it would not be reasonable for him to understand what happened to his documents. And even if it would be reasonable.
Did he ever ask his lawyer whether she had the documents?
He told the court that his understanding was that they were with the government. And the court never told him otherwise. And if the court saw that he misunderstood that they'd been returned, well, they should have told him. And furthermore, the case was he was given a trial date 19 days after the hearing where his lawyer withdrew from him. That doesn't even give him a
sense. Is the other argument ineffective assistance of counsel?
No, Your Honor. The mere existence of an attorney in the background of a claim doesn't magically convert it into a Lozada application. He was pro se. It's not his counsel who's to blame. It's the court that's to blame. The court had an obligation to see to it that he got his documents.
But she had the documents, right?
That's true.
And didn't give them to him, according to him.
That's true.
Wasn't that ineffective assistance?
By the time she was out of the case, we don't know what happened.
I don't understand you. I mean, if a lawyer is given key documents and then leaves the case taking the documents with it, is that unprofessional conduct?
We don't know what the lawyer did. I don't know.
You've lost me. We don't know what the lawyer did. You say the lawyer didn't give him the documents. Didn't you say that in answer to Judge Wood?
It's true, the lawyer didn't give him the documents.
Well, she gets the documents on January the 19th, or whatever that day was. And then, as far as I can tell, the documents languish in the back of a file drawer until suddenly somebody finally, on a second or third search, finds them, and then you get this person who seems to be very qualified to look at them, and it turns out there's a different interpretation possible of these documents.
Your Honor, in a motion to reopen, we have the respondent's affidavit. He received what he thought was his whole file from his old lawyer. He took it to another lawyer with regard to that issue. He believed he had all of his documents. Did she have an obligation to call him up and say you don't? Probably she did. However, also attached is an email from his lawyer stating that the government never gave him that. I've attached that to my motion to reopen. They told me that the government never returned the documents. That's in the evidence. That's part of the motion. I'm cutting into my rebuttal time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Berman.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Mr. Agarwal?
May it please the Court, this is Ashish Agarwal for the Attorney General. The issue here is whether the Board abused its discretion in denying the motion to reopen, and on the due process claim, whether the immigration judge abused its discretion in denying the motion for a continuance. The record shows that Mr. Getchi had ample opportunity to retain counsel, to develop evidence, and to introduce that evidence.
Why does it show that if at a proceeding where Mr. Getchi isn't even there? That's one of the most bizarre parts about this case. The judge relieves Ms. Baranek of the duty to represent him, knowing that the hearing is scheduled for 2 weeks hence, and that he's going to insist that hearing date go forward after giving DHS continuance after continuance after continuance. I don't understand why the judge himself would have thought, oh, there's plenty of time to get a lawyer when it's really just 2 weeks.
Well, a couple of things, Your Honor. First of all, Mr. Getchi had made a motion that he wrote himself to the court on July.
I understand that fully, but I don't know how much practice you do in federal courts. But in criminal cases and in immigration cases, pro se motions flow in at a fairly regular rate. And we don't assume from one pro se letter from somebody that person is a banned lawyer. We normally would just say it's improper to file something if you're represented, and that's that. I mean, to jump to this conclusion flies in the face of, in my case, 10.5 years of experience as a federal judge.
Well, in the motion on July 31st, a week before...
You didn't change the venue.
Well, Mr. Bertinger, in that motion, he said he's already been in contact with an attorney in Miami.
In Miami, right. And so if he doesn't get his change of venue, is there some reason to think that he wants a Miami lawyer to fly up to Chicago?
That's not clear from the record, Your Honor.
No, of course not. And to assume that he's abandoning the lawyer without even asking him.
Well, Your Honor, the judge did ask that afternoon at a separate hearing where Mr. Getchy appeared pro se at that point. At that hearing, one of the first things that the immigration judge did was to ask Mr. Getchy, are you aware that your counsel has withdrawn? Mr. Getchy said yes. He had not raised an objection. He did not indicate that he was opposed to the withdrawal of his previous counsel.
All right, that may be. You started out by saying plenty of time to get a lawyer. In 2 weeks, doesn't strike me as plenty of time. When this man tries to make it very clear at the hearing that he thought he was going to have a lawyer, that he needs a lawyer, the language issue is palpable on this record.
Your Honor, in July of 1999, I think it was July 7th, the very first hearing in this matter, Mr. Getchy sought an extension, sought a continuance so that he could retain counsel. 4 years later, and two attorneys later, he is again...
Look, and how much of that time, to be honest, is DHS? Oh, we don't have the documents yet. Oh, we're still investigating them. We need a written motion before we return them. We won't take an oral motion. This is not all on Mr. Getchy's head. But you are, sort of, and that's just because it really isn't.
Mr. Getchy was alleging that delay in time that it took DHS to get the forensics report together prejudiced him in any way during that time.
That's not the thing. You're saying he's responsible for a giant 4 year delay in this case, and he just isn't.
That representation was made in the briefs. That's not accurate. He's not solely responsible for the briefs. He did ask for a continuance at the first, the very first hearing date. There was some, DHS probably could have handled it better in terms of the documents, making sure they were photographed, etc. Mr. Getchy wasn't prejudiced by any of that. Quite the contrary, he was on notice during that entire time period that DHS is questioning the authenticity of his documents. In 2000, the asylum officer had questioned the authenticity of the documents. In November of 2001, Mr. Getchy's counsel at the time received the forensics report indicating that they had concerns about the
authenticity. But having the report is worthless until you get the original documents back, and DHS, for reasons best known to itself, decided to be very picky about whether it was a written motion and all the rest of it. His forensics examiner can't look at a Xerox of the document and assess whether it's a forgery or not.
Given the number of times Mr. Getchy was changing counsel, I think it behooved DHS to make sure that the record was very clear as to where the documents were, and notwithstanding any of that delay, the basic point, which was made previously, was that Mr. Getchy had counsel and had all of the original documents in his possession as of January 3rd, 2003, a full 8 months before the initial
counsel was exactly
in. And this court said, I believe, in the Ambadi case, in that situation, 7 months was determined to be more than enough time for a petitioner to do whatever investigation is necessary. So I think on this record, the immigration judge was well within his bounds to say that, look, this case has gone on for 4 years, Mr. Getchy has repeatedly changed counsel, and we have to get on with it. Mr. Finley,
if the record about the firing had been a little clearer, I think this would be more appealing from your side. I mean, if Mr. Getchy had been there and Ms. Baranek had been there and he said, I hate Ms. Baranek, I don't want her to represent me anymore, and the judge had said, you realize you're going to have your hearing anyway in 2 weeks, and he said, that's fine, that's what I want to do, I would say, fine, that's what he's decided, he has to live with the consequences. That's not how it happened, though.
Well, I would suggest that based on the record here, with the look at the text of the motion for change of venue, Mr. Getchy was fully aware of what he was doing. There's the old parable of the guy who kills his parents and then pleads for mercy because he's an orphan. Well, this is very much analogous to what's happening here, which is that Mr. Getchy filed a motion saying that he was seeking new counsel. He was aware on 3 weeks before the hearing date that he had discharged his counsel, or the judge had interpreted as such. He had every opportunity to go back to Ms. Baranek, go back to his initial counsel,
to try to get additional representation. And I think...
Would you want Ms. Breen representing you after all this?
That's an ineffective assistance of counsel issue.
I know. We're just saying that he should have gone back to her, which strikes me.
He had the opportunity to go back to her.
Okay.
And if she was, you know, if that point was just speculation, and if she declined to represent him at that point, then perhaps you do have an issue for ineffective assistance, but... You know, they're not even claiming that from the representations that have made about it. Just final thing is on prejudice. The petitioner's forensics report, petitioner has not met his heavy burden of showing that his forensics report would have changed the outcome. All his forensics report says is that the government's forensics report was not determinative. He doesn't say affirmatively that the documents were authentic. He just provides some speculation as to how the errors in the documents and the new fibers could have been inadvertent errors rather than intentional errors. That falls far short of what this court said in the past is required for satisfying the requirements for motion to reopen. This final is a policy point. I would be wary of speaking for DOJ about a report here, because it's certainly create an incentive for aliens to wait until the last minute before their hearing. Fire their counsel and then go forward and try to get another ball at the apple.
And find some immigration judge who's willing to do it without them being present?
Well, the immigration judge had this case for 4 years. And all in some way, the part of the way was on DHS. But notwithstanding that, Mr. Getchi had plenty of notice, gone through two lawyers.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Agarwal. Mr. Berman, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? With regard to the DOJ's argument that it wouldn't have changed the outcome, the immigration judge actually said that he would be inclined to grant asylum unless FDL said that there was conclusive proof the documents were fraudulent. He says that, page 69 of the record. He says if it's even inconclusive, he would give their opinion no weight. He says that at page 73 of the record. He himself said he is going to discount it completely. It's very clear that the outcome would be completely different in this case if this report were submitted. It totally undercuts the judge's own finding that he didn't submit enough evidence, that he didn't meet his burden of proof by a preponderance of the evidence. The prejudice is very obvious. I also want briefly, with regard to Lozada, we would urge the court to find that even had Mr. Jecky had his original documents back, 19 days would not have been enough for him to prepare for trial. It's simply not long enough. A person cannot locate an expert and do what's necessary, and a layman especially, there's no chance. No lawyer is going to take a case for trial 19 days hence. No one's going to take the case. It's just not reasonable. And we'd ask the court to use common sense. That was obviously in violation of his right to a reasonable opportunity to submit evidence in his behalf and to examine the evidence against him. It's not reasonable because nobody could do that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you to both counsel.